Greetings and blessings and peace to you. Also bring you greetings from our congregation at Farmington. I was told there's a lot of people missing, but it sure doesn't look like it to me. We have a small congregation of 12 families, so this looks like a very sizable congregation, whatever's left of you. Lord bless you as you serve him in a big church. Lord bless us as we serve in a little church. This morning, I want to talk about something that helps make up what we are. And I guess we could title the message, Habits, See How You Are. Have you ever heard that term, see how you are? It's like a negative pointing at you and saying, just see how you are. And that's how you act. And this morning I'd like to ask, what makes you what you are? And I would say you were in the making since the first day you were born. Everything that's happened to you, every choice you make, somehow shapes you slowly, sometimes hugely, but all along the way, what you have lived, what you have experienced has made you what you are today. We're all on a journey. Some of us have been at it quite a few years, some not so many, but we all are very unique and very special. We are what we are today, built on the past. And of course, that past is very huge and very dramatic. Sometimes it's part of us is simply what our parents taught us. Some of it is what we have developed. Some of it is what God has done in us. But we are all a product of the past and everything that's happened up to this moment. Here we are. Here we are. And yet, I'm not at all talking about predestination, but I want to look at some of the natural processes that we live all the time, and that is starting out, I want to talk about habits. Habits. A habit, very briefly explained, is something I do on a repetition basis. And our bodies, our minds are made that we operate with habits. It's impossible not to have habits. In fact, we cannot function without habits. When you got out of bed this morning, your brain has already been wired for many years, except for maybe the two-year-olds here, to walk. You had to learn it. At first, you had to think about it. But now it's a habit. Automatically, when you get out of bed, you do not tell yourself, okay, I better get my left foot down first, get on my feet, put the right foot forward. No, it's all automatic. I gotta get to the bathroom. And we don't even think about how to walk, we just go. But a habit is something that just takes over without conscious effort, and we do it. And of course, it goes out to all of life. We are such creatures of habit. And thankfully so, or we would spend all day trying to make a million decisions that we don't have to make. It's automatic. We've trained ourselves that we're going to do this, 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 and this, and we just get up and do it. So life moves forward in a very structured, orderly way because we have habits. Repetition. And of course, those habits start out with the little things, like getting up in the morning. Then it goes on to things we have simply developed, like, do you drink coffee first thing in the morning? I drink tea first thing in the morning. What kind of tea do I drink? What kind of coffee do you kind of drink? Some things we make choices, but we have a lot of things we just put in place, and after a while, that's part of us. You know, it's so comfortable, just get up and do your thing. and without having to decide everything. We decided that a long time ago. We developed into it. So here we go. Think of your children driving a bicycle. First time you tried it, yeah, probably fell over a time or two, unless you had the training wheels on. But after a while, you don't even think about it. You jump on that bike and you head out over here. Your body is constantly correcting, constantly keeping you balanced, but you're thinking about something you're going to do, you're going to school, whatever, and you just ride that bike out of habit. You've figured it out. It's there. It's so easy to do. And that's how habits work. We're thankful for that. Driving is the same way. Of course, in the beginning, you pay attention to every little thing. After a while, you get in there, you're totally thinking something else, and it just happens. It just happens all on its own. Sometimes, yeah, I was thinking deeply about something and had this idea of a book I should write someday, and I was driving down the road, and I was figuring out this chapter, and I was thinking away. Well, I was driving very well, I think, but my thinking part stopped, so the road I was supposed to take, I missed. I didn't normally drive this road. I went 10 or 12 miles up through the countryside, thinking my thoughts. My brain habit was doing very well. I was catching every curve, everything, but my thinking part had stopped. I'm supposed to be way back there, but I'm headed out here. After a while, I started thinking again, figured out what was wrong, had to turn around and go back. Well, the habits are great as long as they're doing what we want them to do. The problem is when we just run on habits and stop thinking. But that's coming a little bit later. People say, and of course this varies, but it takes 2 weeks to develop a habit. You do something regularly, over and over, and in 2 weeks' time, you'll be getting it down in your brain to where it's going to happen. You don't have to think so much about it anymore. You can train yourself to have a specific habit, which is very good, as long as, of course, we're training ourselves good things. But the process is that you do something, and then you realize it's a success. It worked. And then you have pleasure in that. That's what I wanted. And then your brain says, do it again. We do it. It worked. I like this. Do it again. And it's called chunking. Your brain grabs something and this works. And it feels good. And it's successful every time. And you're developing a habit. It just happens. It just flows through. In fact, people have studied this and done it on rats and probably other animals. And once that chunking has happened and your brain takes a certain action and repeats it and repeats it, the reward can go away. And you keep on doing it because it's now part of me and I don't have to think and it's just happening. And maybe the rat was trained to take a certain path to get to the food, and after quite a while the food's removed, but the rat might still run the same maze because somehow it's just grooved in its brain to do this. So we actually develop our brains into pathways of how to do things. And therein comes some of the danger is that we do it just because we always did it. The reward goes away. Maybe the end result isn't so good anymore. But if we only run on habit, we'll keep right on repeating the same motions, but the end result isn't really what we want. So if we become blind creatures of habit, we then do things just because. Sometimes just because is all right. But there's another part of our brain that we want to get to here in a second that helps correct that. This process of developing a habit is not the conscience, and it does not differentiate between good and natural, doesn't matter, indifference, or bad. You can develop a habit, your brain will develop a habit, whether it's a good habit, whether it's a bad habit, or whether it's just a natural thing, walk out the door. Don't touch the hot stove. Things that you have learned and you just do it. So this habit part isn't safe. It's necessary, it's needful, but it's not safe on its own because it does not differentiate between good and evil. Many people have bad habits. Guess what? I can relate to a bad habit. Can you relate to a bad habit? What are you like? And I bet you have good habits. I hope I have some good habits. But the habit part of us is not moral. It is not the conscience. It's just what I have put there, and it develops this machine that keeps me going. Keeps me going. But we cannot stop there, and we cannot say, I can't help it. That's just the way I am. Well, that's the way I am because I developed a habit that way, but yes, I can help it because finally, habits can change. When the Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it, it's talking about the world of habit. The world of habit, because as you get also used to doing it a certain way, it just becomes easy to do it that way. So if you are also used to telling a lie, it happens very easy. If you're also used to always telling the truth, it happens easily because our brain is just grooved to work that way. Don't feed the bears. Why not? Because they'll come around some more. Well, what we feed ourselves is what we become. Again, good habits developed are wonderful, but they're not salvation. Bad habits are dreadful, whether they're in a Christian or whether they're in an unbeliever. So unsaved people can have some good habits that make them pleasant to be around, or just doing things that help them get through society, not necessarily honoring God, but everyone has good habits and bad habits. So there's, maybe I'll do a small illustration on the board here. We'll call that part of the brain habits. God designed, God developed, we develop them. There's part of us, of course, like I just said, that runs on habits. But it's not the whole story. If it was, we'd be pretty sorry creatures. So I'm going to just call that part of the brain habits. But we're going to call that part of the brain the control center. The control center. This is where you do not run on a habit. You run on a thought and an idea and a choice. I will do this or I won't do that. As we run along through life, through our day, this is our habits. We're following the path. It's the way we've trained ourselves. It's the way we go. But when our control center's at work, and our control center says yes, and our control center says no, we come along with our habits and we say, yes, we will do this outside of the habit because it's right. No, we won't do that because it's wrong. So we are not at the mercy of our habits. We are driven by what we actually think and want to do. Wanting to do is a pretty big subject. Have you ever heard the phrase, you don't have to if you want to? Do I have to do this? Well, not if you want to. Well, what does that mean? If I want to do something, I don't feel driven to have to do it. I want to do it. So if I want to overcome a bad habit, my control center takes over and says, yes, we will do this. No, you haven't been in the habit, but it's right, it's good, we will do it. So let's really bring this down now to the Christian life. Is the Christian life about developing the right habits? No, it's not just me doing better. But the end result of salvation is corrected habits and me doing better. We know we're all born with the sin nature. We've heard this all our lives as we listen to the gospel. And that sin nature, processing a normal path down through life, develops habits, all of us. And it includes things that are not right, because it's simply following the path of either least resistance or pleasure in some way or another, or whatever we want to think and do. So our habits are developing along the line of the fallen man and what he wishes for himself. The fallen man is selfish. What we're getting out of this life is what we're after. Why should I do anything else other than get what I want? Fallen man is very, very selfish. So habits are developed along the line of I want, I don't want. What do I want for me? Who should tell me? Why can't I do this? Why should I do that? It's all about developing for me. So obviously, if we're going to be doing it God's way, something radical has to happen. Something has to change. And we see that that change, of course, is, according to the Bible, the first thing is repentance. I recognize that I'm a sinner. I recognize I'm not right with God. I recognize I've done wrong. Not only recognize, that's the first thing, but the second thing, the repentance, is I'm sorry. This is all wrong. I'm sorry. Up to now, our habits have driven us and our decisions were wrong, but until we come to repentance, I'm sorry. And then that desire and that acceptance of forgiveness. Until we're forgiven, we're not forgiven, okay? That's very simple. Until I'm forgiven, I am still guilty. Repent and be forgiven. And then the house is cleansed, the spirits are out, and something has to happen, and that's that Holy Spirit moving in. And how that affects all this is that the Holy Spirit takes over, not the habits. The Holy Spirit takes over the control center. And when I truly give myself open and have the Spirit take over my control center. This is being born again. The body is not born again, but the spirit, the control center, is now given to God. And he makes us new by starting at that very point. The control center is born again. Me, the deepest part that controls everything, me, is now new and under the direction of the Holy Spirit. From there on, the control center needs to make decisions based on what the Holy Spirit says, not what I used to think. I've heard of miraculous things where God has taken away temptations for a new believer, and they just had no more desire for this, no more desire for that. But I think God doesn't always heal instantaneously. Just like our physical bodies, we know of miraculous healings where someone was healed. Maybe there was an anointing or special prayer and the person was just healed. At other times, it's a more gradual healing. It's a process. And sometimes, of course, in our physical, we are not healed. And we will spend a lifetime with a chronic problem. And or finally, in the end, we just wear out. We're done. We're gone. It's the grass. But as the Spirit takes over the control center, many times at this point now, that control center has to intervene with the habit side. Because the habit, the brain, the habit side is not moral. It has right habits, good habits, bad habits. But the control center says yes and no and will correct the development that we've had up until that point. But it takes a conscious effort because that habit-forming thing is natural and it just cuts a groove in your brain. And left to itself, you will continue to do that. But when the control center is directed by the Spirit, you will begin. They say a habit never goes away, but you can rewrite it with effort and the aid of the Holy Spirit. You tell that habit what to be. You develop a new habit in its place. You correct that to be godly. And what used to be a bad habit, you can turn into a good habit. But it takes effort. It takes effort. It takes work. God can forgive you instantly and make you new. But your habits need further training. Now here we begin this Christian life, this thing of be pleasing to God, study to show yourself approved unto God. All the verses that talk about stepping up to the plate and meeting God and doing it right, be righteous, be perfect. Most of the New Testament you could categorize into this section of now you are, so be. Now you're right, now be right every day. So just, if you're struggling with something, it just seems like it just comes up again and again. And I can relate to this. I'm preaching to myself this morning. What's wrong? What's wrong if I have an area that just feels weak and I slip and it's always there trying? There's a habit there, a way of thinking. There's a habit there that I have not yet totally brought under the control center of Christ, not totally retrained. And what's there is there. Until we retrain that, your little bad habit or your big bad habit keeps on being. Do you have any bad habits? Just think about yourself for a minute. What do you do that's less than perfect? What do you struggle with? Don't despair. We can still change. I sometimes despair that I'm 62 and still have some things that aren't perfect. You know what? I'm convinced I can still change. And I want to. And I plan on it. Lord, help me. But the longer we leave a habit go, the deeper it gets furrowed in there. And the harder it is to rewrite it. But we still have to do it. Still do it. Never give up. Why is there a term, grouchy old men? I can say that because I'm an old man now, I think. What's with grouchy old men? You don't have to be old to be grouchy. Young men can get that way too. Women, I'll leave that alone. What's with grouchy old men? You know what I think it is? I think we have spent so much time in our habits, we don't like being pushed out of them. We don't like anything different than what we've really settled into and we're comfortable with. And everything else is just pushing in on us and get away, I like what I'm doing. I think we just get so habit formed and so settled into our clogged arteries that we just are thinking we don't want to do anything different. If it's a good habit, that's wonderful. If it's a bad habit, that's horrible. Good thing is, we're never too old to change. And the control center under the direction of the Holy Spirit can take an old grouch, an old sinner, and turn him into a beautiful saint. And I have seen this. One outstanding case in Romania of an old man spent his life wasted. Drinking, you would have never imagined he could turn around, but the Holy Spirit did it. He died a beautiful old saint. So first of all, as we look at ourselves and if we despair over something, the first basic question is, have I been saved? And am I under the control of the Holy Spirit? And then, all of you old saints that have been walking with the Spirit can say, yes. Well then, what's wrong? Well, we've got habits. And they need lots of help. So as the Spirit works with us, it calls the shots. It makes decisions. Now the conscience says, don't do that. I know you've always done that, but don't do that. You know that's not right. You need to correct this. So start with the correction. We change what we do. We change how we talk. We change how we think. Until you force a habit to change, it doesn't change. Habits have to be redirected and retrained. We're happy for the good ones that we started many years ago. They're easy. Problem is the habits that developed over years that weren't right. But no excuse, because the control center has authority over the habit. Let's go to Romans 12:2. We've talked a lot about natural things. Let's talk about some spiritual things. And yet, this book is about the natural things of how we are and the spiritual things of where we need to go to. And when the spiritual becomes natural to us, we're on the way to being what God wants us to be. When our everyday life is a walk with Him, yes, that's victory. And it's what God wants. Romans chapter 12. Very common, familiar verses, but let's really look at a few deep meanings here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies and its habits a living sacrifice, something beautiful to look at. Holy, acceptable unto God, my body, acceptable unto God. How it acts, how I think, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. There's nothing else to do if we are walking with God. We give ourselves, we are accepted by Him. And be not conformed to this world. And here's the part. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your habits are transformed by the control center that is renewed. The renewing of your mind, the control center under the Spirit, this is what transforms my entire life. Now my habits and my decisions are Spirit-driven. That transformation by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove and show to everybody what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God living out in my life. For I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. Don't think that your ways are superior to God's ways. Don't think you have it all together when you don't. Don't think all your habits are perfect when they're not. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. But what does he say? Think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure of faith. Realizing that God has to control the control center so that my habits and myself will be correct before God. Renewing of the mind puts us on that path to good habits. And to weeding out those weeds. We still have some, don't we? I have not reached perfection. I still have some weedy habits that have to go. Lord, help me. Romans 6:16. He uses so many illustrations, the Spirit, through the writers of the New Testament, Paul, Jesus, Peter. So many illustrations just to help us get the thought, get this thought. Know ye not, verse 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey? You're following this or that, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Obedience is the key to a changed habit and a changed control center. God's way, not my way. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. So if my habit is taking me into sin again and again, I have to be free of that so that I'm a servant of righteousness. Again, the control center needs to correct the habit. When the habit's in charge, we fail. Until we rewrite it, the control center simply has to take over and say, no, we're not doing that. And you will retrain your habit. But it takes effort. It has to be curbed. Matthew 21, Jesus gives us the story of the two boys, verses 28 to 32, of the two boys whose father had worked for them. And I'm going to call them the bad habit boys. The first one, he said, go work in the vineyard today. And he had the habit of doing what he wanted to do, so he said, I won't. The habit was, no. I don't like working. I don't want to work at that. I don't want to do it today. I had another plan. Whatever it was, the bad habit said, I won't. in his case, the control center took over. And he repented of that. And he went anyway, regardless of his habit of, no, I won't. That was his first reaction. The habit took over first. Then the control center kicked in, and he's like, but it's right, and I'll go. The other one says, sure, I'll go. He had the habit of always saying the right stuff. But he had no intention, no desire. He did what sounded good right up front, made Dad happy. That was the end of it. He had bad habits too. But then in the end, he just did what he wanted to do. He did not go. In the end, Jesus says, now which one is doing the will of the Father? Of course, everybody could recognize the story and say, well, the one that actually went. That's right. The one that overrode the habit and said, I'll do it anyway. And that's us. That is needing to be us. My heart doesn't want to do it. I don't want to do it. But finally, my heart does want to do it because I know it's right. So the control center takes over the habit part. And I did the right thing in the end. So, yes, we despair that the habit has to be drug along and forced. But it gets easier. As you train something, it gets easier. So always let the control center make the decision in the end. And make the habit be secondary. And finally, the habit will come into line. And you'll have a good habit. And you'll want to do it. We do what's important. Colossians 3. Turn to that. This chapter is all about rewriting habits. This chapter is all about taking us where we are to where we need to go. You know, the habits, we can feel close to God and we can be saved and everything, but finally, everyday life and your interaction with all the other people in this world, finally, that is where this is played out, and you will or won't be doing the right things. And so, in the end, what you do is finally what you are. It's going to show what you are. It's going to show, are we letting bad habits control us, or is the Holy Spirit-driven control center in charge now, and the habits are getting better? Colossians 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, if your control center is actually now under the Holy Spirit, seek those things which are above, the things that really matter in life, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. This is what we're headed for. Set your affection, the things that you like, on things above, not on things on the earth. This is going to be burned up. It's leaving. I'm moving on. There's a future. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. The old life is gone. Control center is now under God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. The future. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, your habits that you have had in the past, the bad things that you used to do, your control center was not right, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscences, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. If I would have kept on living like that, God would finally be so angry he would reject me forever. In the which ye also walked sometime when you lived in them and your habits were full of that. Verse 8, but now ye also put off all these. Putting off, we're changing our habits. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Your control center is changed and your habits are changing too. Putting off is about getting a new habit and have put on, verse 10, the new habit, the new groove that you're cutting in your brain. Put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge, starting with the control center, after the image of him, Jesus Christ, that created us, born again, and now we're changing into his image. There's neither Greek nor Jew, those things don't matter, circumcision, uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond, nor free, but Christ is all and in all and will control every person if we allow him to. Put on, changing your habits. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, forgiving one another. These are developed attributes that the Spirit flows through our life as we change our habits and live them. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Goes on, tells us about love, about the peace of God, the word of Christ dwelling in us richly. In the end, a person like that, that is just letting the putting on and the putting off happen, taking the Spirit, making it happen, bringing our habits into under the direction of our thinking and our planning, and the Spirit is driving us, you become a nice person. You become a good person. Good in the sense that you are walking with God. Be ye holy. Be ye perfect. Turn to Hebrews 5:14 for a closing verse. He talks about some weakness. Verse 12, he says, "For when for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again. Has God ever thought that about me? Which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not of strong meat." He's saying, move along. Get to the next phase. Come on. Get that habit out of there. 13, for everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongs to them that are of full age. We are developing. We're coming. Even those who by reason of use, because you have done it over and over, the righteousness, the right decisions, the developed habit, by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So that it becomes second nature to you. You recognize evil immediately. You recognize the right path instantly. By reason of use, over and over, your control center made the right choice. Your habit is developed by reason of use. You can exercise and you can discern the right and the wrong. And as the Spirit controls us and continues to control us, our decisions will be better and we will make right decisions. It's a path. It's a journey. We are told to grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. We grow by exercising, by controlling, by letting the Spirit control us and bring our habits into line. Lord bless you and help you to do that.